It was winter, and the festival of the dedication of the temple was being celebrated in Jerusalem. Jesus was walking in Solomon's porch in the temple when the people gathered round him.
How long are you going to keep us in suspense? Tell us the plain truth. Are you the Messiah?
I have already told you, but you would not believe me. The deeds I do by my Father's authority speak on my behalf. But you will not believe, for you are not my sheep.
My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never die. No one can snatch them away from me. What my Father has given me is greater than everything. And no one can snatch them away from the Father's care. The Father and I are one.
President Abraham Lincoln was once summoned an army surgeon from the state of Ohio to the White House. And the major assumed that he was to be commended by the president for some exceptional, outstanding work. However, during the conversation, Mr. Lincoln asked the major about his widowed mother. "Oh, she's doing fine," he responded. "Well, how do you know?" asked Lincoln. "You haven't written her, but she's written me," Mr. Lincoln continued. "She thinks that you're dead and is asking me that a special effort be made to return your body." At that, the commander-in-chief placed a pen in the young doctor's hand and ordered him to write a letter letting his mother know that he was alive and well. We're never too old for our mothers to worry about us and want to hear from us. There was a man in the River Chase Church by the name of Owen Hunter Shepherd. Owen had this thing every time he came out after the service and shook my hand. He always asked me this one thing: "Have you talked to your mother this week?" And I got to thinking that maybe he and my mother had hooked up. And it got to so where I would almost find out which door he would head out. And I would sneak around and avoid him. Because he's always asking me, "Have you talked to your mother this week?" I'll never forget him. My mother loves him. Every time I go home, she'll say, "Now, son, what was the name of that man who always told you to ask you about me?" No, mothers care about their children. Some are a little obsessive, perhaps, but that's all right. And today is the day that we salute our moms. But not only our moms, but those maternal influences in our lives. Because all of that plays in together. And like that army surgeon, if you've been neglecting your mother, this is the day to reach out and let her know you care. In fact, if you have a cell phone on you, you've probably got her speed dial in somewhere. We'll just take a minute and let you call. Call home. Call your mom. I know some of you wished you could call your mom, but you can't. But if you can, do today. Our text this morning suggests that God is like a loving, caring mother. And a loving, caring dad as well. Jesus uses the analogy of the good shepherd, but he could be speaking of a good parent just as easily. He says, "My sheep recognize my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me, and He's more powerful than anyone else, and no one can kidnap them from me. On this day when we honor our mothers and the maternal influences in our lives, as well as celebrate the significance of the Christian family, I think there are some analogies that can be made between the security and the love of a parent as well as the love of God. Two of the greatest sources of security available in the world today. We are indeed thankful for our mothers who see us through the stresses and the strains of our lives. Like Dorothy said repeatedly in The Wizard of Oz as she journeyed back to Kansas, "There's no place like home. There's no place like home." There is indeed no place like home. Because home, wherever that is a haven, a shelter from the storms, a friendly port when the waves of life become too wild. The love received in the home, I think, is a reflection of a far greater source of security, and that is the love and the care of God who protects and defends and offers safety and peace for our lives. God's love, like the love of a mother, is a great source of security because it's a very personal kind of love. Jesus said, "My sheep recognize my voice, and I know them." I know them. A very personal kind of love. There's a delightful story told about General Douglas MacArthur, the military hero a few years back. James Dent recounts an incident that happened, somewhat embarrassing one that happened to MacArthur years ago. Of course, MacArthur, many of you recognize him as having been one of our country's greatest military leaders. But he, like many of our military leaders, have a reputation that is not to be the most caring of kinds. In fact, they can be abrasive and insensitive and quite aloof. So MacArthur's public relations people got together and they decided to see what they could do to soften his public image a little bit, because they were getting a lot of criticism. So they came up with an idea. They decided they would have him review a contingents of veterans. They would call some veterans together and have them line up, and in the middle of the review, they would have him suddenly recognize an enlisted man who had served under him during a war, and they would have that moment of encounter, so that MacArthur could be viewed as remembering and being sensitive and caring and all that sort. You with me? Have you just lost me? Should I go on to something else? I mean, it's hard to tell sometimes. Sometimes I think I should just forget the whole thing and leave. But anyway, we'll continue. So they went to all this trouble of setting up these men for inspection, all of them veterans. And the lucky soldier would be unaware that he was a part of this conspiracy, okay? But they would pick one of these men and find out everything they could about him. And then they had MacArthur to memorize everything about this soldier. But to make sure that everything went off okay, they would have an aide walk closely by MacArthur, and when he got exactly in front of this soldier, he would nudge him. And that would be his hint to stop and say, "Hey, Soldier Joe, good to see you," and blah, 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 blah. And it went off really well, like clockwork. MacArthur saluted the veterans, and the veterans saluted MacArthur, and the general began his march along the lines of the soldiers. And at the right moment, the aide gave MacArthur the nudge. MacArthur halted, and he turned, and he looked at the man standing stiffly at attention in front of him. "Jones," he boomed. "We were together at this certain war, weren't we?" And the soldier was looking at him, not knowing exactly whether or not he should respond. "You're Corporal Jones, right?" "Right. I remember you, and we did all these things together." And the soldier still looking like he doesn't know what to do. And Jones then finally blurted out, really quizzically, "Is that you, MacArthur?" It's like I do many times when I'm not sure who's who. Well, that certainly burst MacArthur's bubble that day. Because you see, here was a man pretending to know a person who didn't know any of his men. And it didn't go off very well at all. We live in a world, a very impersonal world. And it's becoming more so as life moves along with all the various opportunities now that we have to communicate. But we live in a world that's very insecure as well, where war and terrorism brings everything closer and closer home, where once it was continents and oceans away. But it seems that more and more we live in a world where it sometimes seems that we don't really count for very much, that we're just a speck on the spot of this planet. But there is one place that many of us, not all of us unfortunately, but many of us have a place where we do count, where we are remembered, and where we are somebody, and that place is at home. And a home is where we're not just simply a number, but where we have a name, and that name means something. We're a valued member of the family. And I want you to know that's the same way it is being a part of the family of God. God says that we're more than a number, more than a face in the crowd. That God loves us, and He loves us with a very personal kind of love. We're told that even the very hairs on our heads are numbered. And Christ is our good shepherd. Cares for us in the same kind of way. God's love, like the love of a mother, is a great source of security. Because it's also a very giving kind of love. "My sheep recognize my voice," said Jesus. "And I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish." The very nature of God is to give. He gives us life in the first place. He sustains our lives and His gifts of sunshine and rain and much more. And when our days are finished on this planet, He gives us eternal life. We have a very giving God. Jesus wants to ask, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask Him?" And I found an engaging movie, I think, that illustrates several of my points that I wanted to provide in this message this morning. I think that maybe we can sort of take a break, if you will, and enjoy a little bit of the humor in some of these clips as well. The movie is Spanglish. We see here where there are cultures that clash with a mighty clang in this comedy of of manners and mayhem. We see, of course, if for those of you who are not familiar with this movie, a Mexican housekeeper is hired by this rich Los Angeles family, and everyone's life is upended in a hilarious zany sort of way because the language barrier is so great, but they're all stumbling over one another to care for each other, and it's very interesting engagement as it reflects upon some of the same way in which God is giving and forgiving, which is important for those of us who live our lives in a spiritual poverty and where we're haunted by hypocrisy. And here's one of the clips where we see this being played out.
What about hypocritical?
Hypocrite.
Yes, you heard me. It's not like you didn't do the same thing.
No.
Yes, you did.
So why don't you go lecture yourself? You won't need a translator for that one. I mean, what am I lately? A recycling bin? Anybody dumping your garbage? Hope I make something useful out of it?
Hypocrisia, no.
Yes, yes, you did the same thing.
You think I don't know about you altering those outfits for Bernie? She tells me her stuff. So am I missing something? Is there really a difference between that and what you're complaining about? Excuse me.
No hay diferencia, yo interferí.
There's no difference, I interfered.
You're kidding me. It's just pretty wild to say something to somebody and have the other person just concede the point. I'm dazed here.
Estoy muy sorprendida que me dieras la... que me dieras la razón.
Yo me siento avergonzada.
I feel really embarrassed.
Usted tiene razón, es hipocresía por mi parte.
And you were very right, hypocrisy, yes.
Okay, that doesn't happen very often.
Mire cuando se quiera.
She said that we'll leave whenever it is good for you.
No. Come on, man.
Ya no puedo seguir trabajando aquí después de
cómo la hablé. But how can I keep working for you after we talk like this?
You can't quit the job. Even if you wanted to. And you know why.
Pero tú no puedes renunciar, aunque tú quisieras. Y tú sabes por qué.
No.
Yes, you do. You know.
Why?
Because if you do, Christina will blame herself for costing you the job.
Porque sí, entonces Christina se echará la culpa por haberte perdido el empleo.
And that guilt.
Y esa culpa.
I don't know if you know about guilt.
Yo no sé si tú sabes de esa culpa. Culpa, guilt, sí. We know. We're Catholics.
Culpa, sí.
We know.
We know.
You can't do that to her.
No puedes hacer eso, ella.
Welcome back.
Good night.
Good night.
Ya no puedes seguir traduciéndome. Tengo que aprender inglés ahorita.
You can't be translating for me all the time. I need to learn this now.
Eso era para ti, no para él.
I really wasn't supposed to translate that.
Listen to your mother. She knows it all.
¿Qué?
Nada.
I thought the last part of that your mothers would really like. Listen to your mother. She knows it all. Certainly, as you get older, it seems your mothers and fathers get wiser and wiser. But what about the hypocrisy that we often find ourselves in the family, in the home, in the relationships? But know today that God's love is very personal. But also, there's another part in this movie, but also in our scripture, where it talks about God's love is very protective. That Jesus said, no one will snatch them from me. And St. Paul said, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Isn't that very assuring? I think this should fill us all with a sense of security and assurance to know that God watches over us like a shepherd and that there's no one going to come and snatch us away. God's love is very protective. That's also true with that of the love of a mother as well as the love of a father. And here's we find another clip where we find this very true as well in this movie.
To the Dean of Admission, Princeton University, from Cristina Moreno, most influential person, my mother. No contest. I think I have been pointing toward this essay ever since the day 12 years ago in Mexico when my father left. Such was my mother's need to protect me that she would not let me see her cry.
Un momento.
The trick was get over it as quickly and privately as possible. Such was my need to protect her that I never let on that I could hear her.
God is very protective of us all. And there are times when perhaps maybe mothers and fathers, but mothers probably tend to do this a little bit more as being overprotective. There was one man who wrote Reader's Digest, and he said, my mother has always treated me like her baby, no matter what my age. He said, after turning 30, I purchased a computer and learned to use it. Thinking I'd impress her with my skill and maturity, I sent her a well-written letter, complete with computer graphics and borders and an elaborate typeface. And I phoned to ask her what she thought of the letter. It's lovely, dear, she replied. I have it hanging on the refrigerator for all the neighbors to see. Any of you know a mother like that? A mother who still sees after 30 years an offspring as a child. It's not all that uncommon. At least we know we're loved. And the good parent never quits loving, even when we don't deserve it. We are safe in the care and the love of God. In verse 7 of our chapter, Jesus says that He was the door to the sheepfold. And then in verse 11, He said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. We see this also another clip in this movie, Spanglish, where this again is played out exactly as it is in our scripture text. Let's watch this one last clip.
Shortly after we left, my mother told me of another decision she had reached. I would no longer go to the private school.
Lo siento mucho.
No! 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 You can't do that to me! You can't do that to me! No, you can't do that to me! You ruined everything! You ruined everything!
Agarra las cosas del suelo.
This ruined my life! You've ruined everything. I will never forgive
you. Te prometo que todo estará bien. Vamos.
No,
vamos.
No, it'll never be all right. You're wrong. This is exactly what I was worried about. I'll never be able to forgive you. Nunca te perdonaré. Nunca. I have a scholarship, and nobody gives this up.
The 1.3 miles from the Klasky house to our bus stop was the longest walk I'll ever know. I had publicly scorned my mother. And yet she had not reacted. What did spark our climactic moment was my use of a common American phrase.
Not right now. I need some space.
Not a space between us. Que sea la última vez, Cristina.
In the midst of confrontation, she found clarity.
Claro. Ahora entiendo lo que está pasando. Hija, siento que...
She expressed regret that she had to ask me to deal with the basic question of my life at such a young age.
Porque todavía eres una niña.
And then she asked it.
¿Es eso que tú quieres para ti misma?
Is what you want for yourself?
Convertirte en alguien
to become someone very different.
Diferente de mí.
Than me. I've been overwhelmed by your encouragement to apply to your university and your list of scholarships available to me. Though, as I hope this essay shows, your acceptance, while it would thrill me, will not define me. My identity rests firmly and happily on one fact. I am my mother's daughter. Thank you, Cristina Moreno.
What did the mother say when the daughter asked for space? Yeah. She said, there is no space between us. And John's Gospel puts Jesus' words like this as well. Between you and the Lord, there is no space. If there is space, space that you've created. It is space that you have caused, not God. And if there is space, God is very grieved. God is very saddened. And that space can be brought back close together today on this Mother's Day. You are your Father's son. You are your Heavenly Father's daughter. You are your Heavenly Father's child. And that is your identity. That, in that is your security. In that, can you find wonderful reassurance? If you do not possess that this day, I pray you will find it. Amen. Now, as you go, may you enjoy once again the blessed reassurance that you are somebody, and you are somebody of significance, and you are somebody that makes a difference. Go now, therefore, and find yourself with a new identity and with a new reason for living. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.